morning. Thank you, everybody, for joining us with the Baptist Bias. We've got a special show this morning, Sunday morning, of the conference, the King James Bible Conference here at Sure Foundation Baptist Church. And we've taken over their vault. We've brought our co-host with us. I think he flew on a magic carpet. How'd you get here, Ben?
I mean, you already explained it. Magic carpet, man. That's how we do it in the Arab world. But I appreciate the chance to be here. What an epic conference this has been. And we have reached the final day of it and the final Baptist Bias of the conference. We have some great guests joining us. Pastor Shelley, I'll throw it back over to you to introduce them.
So we've got our host of the conference, Pastor Aaron Thompson, with us in studio. And how's it been going so far? What is your thoughts about the conference, Pastor Thompson?
Well, as promised, I mean, we've had a lot of new material. I mean, obviously, there's no new thing under the sun, but there's been a lot of new subject material. And, you know, that's what Pastor Anderson was saying, that he was going to introduce some new things that he, you know, hasn't necessarily covered before. And preaching about the Reina Valera, or not the Reina Valera, but the 1960 Bible and against it and the flaws in it, I thought, I specifically asked Pastor Mejia, as I mentioned yesterday, to preach about that subject, which was probably, you know, a very difficult topic to preach about, especially since, you know, it's not a majority Spanish-speaking room. There was a lot of people that spoke Spanish, you know, or that are learning Spanish, so that was a really important sermon to get out there, so especially for our group, our movement. So, yeah, I mean, I think the conference is going great. Looking forward to hearing your sermon, and I know that you're going to be preaching about the KJV is Jesus this morning, so I'm looking forward to hearing that. And I'm preaching about the 15 rules to the translators, and I'm not going to cover all 15 rules, otherwise we'd be here till midnight, but just covering...
I believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, the spirit of Pastor Shelley might come upon me, or Pastor Anderson. So, I'm just going to cover mainly probably three of the 15. So, if I even get past the first point. So.
I feel like there's been some great technical information at this conference. I mean, we've gotten into the Septuagint. We've talked a lot, especially in the Q&A session, about the received text. We've talked about the critical text, the modern versions, all these elements of our doctrine, and really educated people, a wealth of information, and both easy and maybe a little more dense. So I think there's been something for everyone, no matter how knowledgeable they are on the subject.
And I really enjoyed the conference as well. We also have another pastor with us, Pastor Jim Weeb, and you are from Canada, eh? How's it going? Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, that's good to hear that coming from a Texan, but yeah, it's good to be on the show. It's been a great conference, learning a lot, good fellowship. It was even good to have a ride in a Tesla the other day when Pastor Mejia was driving there.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, that's been really good.
Tell us a little bit about your church.
Yeah, so our church started off as a Bible study group, a soul winning group, because we couldn't find anybody in Manitoba that, you know, preached right gospel that would allow us to come to church. There's one, but then they found out we listened to Pastor Anderson, then we weren't welcome.
So unpardonable sin.
Yeah, and so we did that for a number of years while looking for churches. But then we just, okay, we're going to have to, you know, just meet as a group. And then a while later, quite a few years later, then Pastor Thompson and I talked, and he, you know, was willing to help us start a church there. And so we're in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
When was that?
That was, I think, October 2022.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a couple years ago, about 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now, what's the name of your church?
Fortress Baptist Church.
Fortress Baptist Church. And don't you all have like another soul winning group or something in another area, or tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's a group in Calgary. Kind of just found out about them through Facebook. I saw like there was new IFP people there and interested in soul winning, and I was like, well, we'll just have a soul winning marathon and try to encourage them. And I was still under Pastor Thompson, we decided to make it a, you know, official soul winning group, just to, you know, help them, encourage them, and going good. They were up to 20. They're down to 14 now, but still, they've been faithful. They're hitting really receptive pockets there, especially on the Mega Marathon.
So in Canada, when you're trying to build the church and grow and advertise, bring people in, do y'all just like hand out like syrup samples, or like how does that work?
Well, I mean, syrup probably wouldn't go over as, it wouldn't be as a novelty in Canada as maybe other places. No, we use the traditional.
Very diplomatic answer.
Yeah. When you You'll get a, to, when we make a new Canadian translation, instead of the bear and the honey, it's like the bear and the syrup or something. Is that how it works?
You'll have to excuse Pastor Shelley if he encounters anyone remotely foreign. Nothing but stereotypes will come out of his mouth. So,
well, they're there for a reason. You got to use them, right? So, no, we have some great Canadians in the movement. And our show is sponsored by Canada specifically, so
that is true.
Without you know the Canadians, we would basically have nothing. So really grateful that you're here on the show, doing the work up there. And look, Canada is probably a little bit harder of a place to start churches and do this work. And so commend you on going up there and staying strong. I mean, obviously you're from there, but I'm just saying, staying there, being committed, reaching your people. Handing out syrup samples, whatever you have to do, it makes a lot of difference. You know, when we have a conference like this, the King James Bible Conference, obviously we're talking about a really important issue because I think most doctrinal statements have the Bible or what their beliefs are about the Bible as their first line in their doctrinal statement. And pretty much everybody will say, oh, we believe the Bible was perfect and inerrant in the originals. But most doctrinal statements pretty much just stop right there. Whereas we're coming alongside and saying, not only do we believe that God gave us the Word of God, but we still have it. It's been preserved, and I can hand it to you right now. It's the King James Bible. And so I think that having conferences like this and encouraging churches to have a King James Bible is important. But I'm kind of curious, you know, Pastor Thompson, we're learning a lot about the King James. We're getting arguments for the King James. What do you really hope to see people do with this information? You know, we're going to leave here. We're going to go home. What do you really want people to do, you know, after they leave a conference like this? Like, what is kind of your vision for what this type of a conference could accomplish?
Well, I mean, I just hope that it educates people because sometimes people are King James only and, you know, it's more surface level. It's more, you know, it's a faith thing. But also to even have them delve into the subject even further because, you know, it's great to have it be a faith thing. And
our producer's requesting that you go
straight into the mic. All right.
Or you could adjust it if you want, if it just helps you a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll just speak into the mic. But, yeah, I mean, I hope that people just – because, I mean, they're giving – you can't cover a topic like this just in even five sermons. So it's – you know, it's something that you have to kind of be a lifelong learner about if you really want to delve into the subject. Maybe some people don't want to do that, but there's even people at this conference that might not even be King James only. I know for sure there's a couple people that just wandered in and have come. There's a person that just saw the stuff that we had decorated outside, and they've been at the whole conference, all through the Q&As, all through everything, and even yesterday they were out fellowshipping with everybody. And
if you haven't scared them off yet, you're waiting for me to finish the job or what?
Yeah, maybe. Just finish the whole job, yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, I just hope that people, you know, take this, you know, seriously. And there's a lot of proponents against the King James out there that they want to destroy people's faith, like Mark the queer-sounding sissy Ward. And he, you know, he wants to take the King James out of people's hands, and he tries to use the NIV or other, you know, supposed translations into the modern languages, you know, from the TR supposedly, which they deviate from the TR all the time on those, especially, the, you know, the New King James is just horrible. So, but he'll try to say, you know, he's our brother or whatever, but he's...
Doesn't
you know,
sound like
he
it.
He sounds like our sister. more like
that's,
it, you know?
I actually like women way more. That was like derogatory towards women.
Yeah,
because
was.
He's effeminate and he sounds like a faggot. So my sisters sound way better and cooler, and I'd rather hang out with any woman than that guy. So that's kind of derogatory towards women, and we don't hate women, you know. Okay, Pastor Thompson? No, I'm just kidding.
I know.
Obviously, what you know, this conference is a lot of fun. There's food. I mean, the food has been great. The fellowship has been great. We've got shirts. We've got prizes. The decorations are awesome. Mm. The vault is epic. But I kind of want to get an idea, Pastor Weeb, you know, why come to a conference like this, you're visiting here, you know, from your perspective, like, what's really important about coming to a conference like this? Why do you come to a conference like this?
Well, just, you know, line upon line, just keep, you know, learning new things about the King James. You know, I was brought up King James, although my parents weren't saved. They, you know, they taught me that King James was the only one, right? And, yeah, just to learn new things. Like, I didn't know where the Apocrypha came from, and I learned that from the Septuagint, so. And just, yeah, to just keep, because, I mean, if you're going to compromise and go, like, let's say New King James or some new version that, that someone makes, right, like, it just, it, like Pastor Anderson talked about, the doctrines are affected. And, yeah.
Yeah, and again, we want to make sure that not only do we believe the things we believe, we understand why we believe them. Ben, is this your first time to come to the King James Bible Conference?
Yeah, it's the first time that I've ever been here before.
Is it the fear of missing out that kind of causes you to want to come out to one of these things? Like, why are you here?
Hell yeah. I mean, you know, watching it on television is just not the same. And I've watched prior King James conferences on TV, on YouTube, and, you know, it's not the same. I wanted to be a part of it. I wanted to, you know, obviously experience it for myself. And, you know, Pastor Thompson made it a lot easier for me to get here because of the fact that he gave me the opportunity to contribute a little bit, courtesy of the Q&A, which I really appreciate. So, and obviously you, Pastor Shelley, as well, making it possible through this podcast. So conferences to me are just so special. They are always high energy. The fellowship is amazing. I mean, I didn't go to the hike, which I'd like to do next time. So I spent the majority of my time standing and talking or sitting and talking, and I had an absolute blast. Why is that? It's because I love the brethren.
Amen.
Period. Throwing it back over to you.
Well, and again, this topic is really a topic that you love, you've engaged with.
I love this topic.
I feel like we spent some time working on a movie about this topic.
I will tell you that prior to working on the Preserved Bible, of course, I was King James only, but I couldn't really explain it as well as after working on the Preserved Bible documentary. It gave me a wealth of information to work with, and all of the research and the study that went into that film was so, so helpful. And frankly speaking, I've kind of become a geek on this issue. It is really interesting to me, and so I have been having an absolute blast absorbing all of the knowledge and the wisdom that has come from the preaching at this event, for sure.
I think a conference like this can be a little bit intimidating as a preacher because just how much information has already been put out there. You know, New World Order Bible Versions was a great documentary, educated a lot of people on the fact there's some big differences in the Bible. Our Preserved Bible documentary, we tried to put a lot of effort, energy into kind of talking about the history and a lot of the arguments and really getting some of the technical detail as well as just kind of the story of the King James Bible. Obviously, Pastor Anderson seems like a wealth of information on this subject. He preached twice at this conference, and it was not a repeat by any stretch of the imagination. Two completely different sermons with lots of new information, really emphasizing a lot about the Hebrew, the Septuagint, explaining some differences that I think some people maybe even weren't aware of. So there's just so much information, and I feel like the audience level of knowledge is just so high. And so it's kind of intimidating to try to bring maybe something new or to educate further. But at the same time, I do think just increasing people's faith and kind of getting them excited about this, because not everybody's going to study all this. Not everybody's going to be a history expert. Not everybody's going to be a technical language expert. Many people may have never even speak another language apart from English. And I still want them to be able to feel confident that if they approach somebody on this issue, they can make a point themselves. They can contribute to this effort of getting more people onto the King James Bible. They can explain it to their children. They can explain it to their family members. And they can also have an extreme confidence in the Word of God, even if they don't understand the pericope adultere or the comma Johannium. Or what other flexes do you have on us, Ben? You got another flex on us?
I think you covered them all. You've covered them all at this point. I can't think of anything
or
else.
Or like the ha-theos. That guy sounds real educated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, you know, I really appreciate, obviously, all of the new information and the nitty-gritty. I like it. I like the technical expertise. But I also want to, you know, appeal this morning to, you know, the women and the children and a lot of people that hopefully they can also get something out of this conference and have a lot of confidence moving forward and not feel kind of overwhelmed. Because I feel like the James Whites of this world, what they want to do is they want to snow you with all this technical detail and all this information, and they're hearing Erasmus and Vaticanus and Sinaiticus and Pericope Adulterae and all, and then they just kind of gloss over, right? And again, that's something that I feel like the other side does. And so I think sometimes bringing it back out, let's all walk out of the forest and just observe the forest again for what it is and not kind of get lost in some of the details.
The eclectic text.
Yeah, whatever. Thank you for finally flexing for it. I know you're over here, you know, begging for
just
it.
Just trying to be humble.
And again, I'm not against educating ourselves. I think we should understand why. But I feel like it's important for, you know, the common man, the blue collar worker, the person that's never even been to college, for them to also believe the Bible. Because I think, wasn't it Pastor Mejia? I think it was him that brought up some kind of percentage or statistic talking about how the uneducated were the most concerned with the changes when it came to the text, as opposed to how the educated just want just extreme changes and they want all this different stuff, whereas the common guy is actually kind of the one that's right. And the Bible says you're making wise the simple. So, you know, just because you may not be educated from a college perspective or a formal perspective or learned the history, I think you can still be someone that contributes to this King James Bible conversation. What do you think about this, Pastor Thompson?
Well, I'm actually going to bring that point up a little bit in my sermon. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly.
Amen.
So, you know, Jesus is up there speaking. So when Jesus, you know, obviously
I might steal that point.
That's fine. You stole my text for my Bible reading, so it's okay. We can read.
Well, Pastor Anderson stole my text because I was going to use John 10.
Yeah, I know.
And so, then I'm just like,
that's okay. It's
and I was just worried about time, so I'm like, Psalm 12.
That's okay. Yeah, I don't know. That's a good idea.
That or Psalm 19. No, I'm just kidding.
That's all right. But I was just going to say that, you know, the common people heard him gladly, and that's the same way it is today with the Bible, is that, you know, the scholars are nitpicking nuances and little things, and, you know, they're up in their high tower. And Presbyterians, you know, the reason why King James wanted to make a change is because the Presbyterians loved the Geneva Bible so much, and he hated all their little notes and stuff, and their it was almost like a Calvinistic study Bible.
Yes,
and he despised it, and everybody's like, oh, James was a Presbyterian, a hardcore, you know, Calvinist or whatever, and it's like, that's not what I see. I see that he wanted the middle ground. He wanted the middle path between, you know, the Church of England and the Presbyterians, which they came with this laundry list of things that they wanted to change. And he's like, no, 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 no. It's like, new translation? Yes. That's like basically the only thing he said yes about.
I want to just bring this up because, Pastor Shelley, you mentioned the idea of the unlearned being the most concerned about Bible translation issues. And, of course, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And I think it's the people today who the naysayers would label as unlearned and ignorant men who actually similarly have been with Jesus, not to steal from your sermon or anything like that, but how is it that in 2025 we can quote-unquote be with Jesus? It's right here with the King James Bible, because
Amen.
The Word of God is God. The Word is God.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, honestly, there's too much stuff to say this morning, and I'm hoping that, honestly, that a lot of people are going to have your opinion here, where they're coming up with all kinds of other ideas that I didn't talk about or bring up. And I think a good sermon, whenever you have good doctrine, the Holy Ghost just reminds us all of different verses in the Bible and helps us make further points as confirmation. It's kind of like the Berean searching the scriptures, whether those things are so. And what you'll notice about bad preaching and false doctrine is that you often leave confused.
Yes.
You're not like thinking of other verses that confirm. You actually leave trying to think, like, what the heck did that guy just even say? I mean, he was talking about Batman and, you know, killing people in a store, and I really don't even know what the heck that was about. Whereas if, you know, you're preaching good with authority, you're preaching the Bible, people are thinking of other verses, they're thinking of what the scriptures say, things are resonating. And so, you know, the King James Bible, I think, is the same way. When you read the King James Bible, I think every time I'm reading, I'm like, it's like triggering in my brain all these other verses and all these other comparisons. Whereas when I'm reading the modern versions, I constantly am just wondering, like, what the heck did that just even
say?
What is
it saying?
Like, it seems confusing to me. And I feel like I struggle to even understand what it's saying. It typically isn't helping me further my doctrine, further my understanding. It's not giving me zeal. It's giving me confusion. The Bible says that God's not the author of confusion. And I grew up on the New King James, so I grew up on modern versions, and it was really, it feels like that kid who has a need for glasses, and he just doesn't quite understand it, right? He's been living his life, and everything's just been looking blurry, but he didn't realize until the teacher or somebody said, like, you can't read this? And you're thinking, like, no. And then they put glasses, and you're like, oh, wow. And I feel like that's what the King James can do to people who have been reading for so long without glasses, in a sense, where they basically have these modern versions. It doesn't make sense. Everything's kind of blurry. Where the King James just brings so much clarity just right there on the forefront.
Yeah.
Pastor Weeb, I know you said you kind of brought up on the King James, but have you had, you know, these moments where you're reading the modern versions and you just feel so confused? It's like hard to even understand what they're saying.
Yeah, I mean, like, for sermons, I'll sometimes go into the new versions, and or, you know, when you're talking to somebody. And, like one big thing is, like, the verse, like, when they take out the word hell, right? Like, that just affects
Sheol.
Being able to save people, right? It's like, what are you being saved from if you don't believe in hell?
Right.
So, yeah, they're very confusing.
Yeah, I mean, they use just kind of the underlying words like Sheol, Hades, yeah. Gehenna. And it's not that there's anything wrong with those words. It's not mm-hmm. that those words couldn't even be found in the underlying text. It's more just, why would I be using some word from another language if we're supposed to be translating the Bible into English? And I think that most people resonate with the word hell. It's a strong word. It provokes a lot of emotion for people. And we should be provoking people with emotion, because others say with fear, pulling mm-hmm. them out of the fire. Like, we don't want people to think that they're just going to sleep in the grave. And I feel like when I knock on doors, I don't know about here, but a lot of people sometimes will just say, like, oh, when you die, that's it. Or when you die, you just go to the grave. And they kind of, like, don't really have this hell doctrine already on the table when you knock on the door. Is that something you experience, Pastor Thompson?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, yeah. People that believe in the modern versions, too, they just automatically think that Sheol or whatever, those mistrans, you know, where they don't translate the word.
Right.
Like, especially in the New King James, they take out the word hell multiple times, and, you know, they leave it untranslated on purpose. It's like, how's that more clear? How's that updating the King James? It's not updating it. It's making people
think.
They
went backwards.
Yeah. It's like, why leave those untranslated? Because you don't believe in hell. That's why. And they want you to believe it's just the grave. And so, and that's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They want you to believe that there is no hell, that you just cease to exist.
When I hear of Hades, it makes me think of, like, Greek philosophy, or like Greek mysticism, or like some kind of a Greek pagan religion where, you know, we're going back to like the time of Hercules or something like this. Like, it doesn't seem like Christian. It doesn't even sound like Christianity. And again, it's not to say that obviously Hades doesn't have its place if you're a Greek speaker, but just from an English perspective, it's kind of been warped a little bit, I think, in our minds. And Hades doesn't really resonate with me about hell. I mean, have you ever heard, are people even using Hades in modern context, Ben? Do you hear people like saying, go to Hades, or get the Hades out of here, or what the Hades? I mean, like, is this what you're hearing?
It's obviously not a commonly used word, and this was demonstrated in New World Order Bible versions when they went out and interviewed people on the street and asked them what word was more recognizable, hell or Hades. And I think the answers, it kind of speaks for itself, the way that people responded to that question. And it's just another example of how the modern versions water down the Word of God, which the Bible tells us is sharp, and, you know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And
piercing.
Know, piercing, even right. to dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So that just
and
tells you.
Ways and morrow.
Right.
It's a discerner.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it tells you just how specific the Word of God can be, whereas the modern versions will take scriptures, and especially on things like fornication and sins of that nature, and turn it into sexual immorality. Or we looked at the New Living Translation, and they totally get rid of the word drunk. and turn it into something more vague.
Well, so they just get rid of sober.
Excuse me.
They get rid of the word sober. So you it basically could be drunk while reading it and not be rebuked constantly about needing
to
be sober.
They water down the message to make it more vague.
They beer it down.
Yeah.
They wine it down.
And this is why you'll actually have people who walk away from the modern versions thinking that sin isn't actually sin. Dr. Stringer, in our interview with him for the Preserved Bible, brought this up to you, that he talked to a young lady who explained to him that she didn't think that being a sodomite was even a sin or anything like that, and it was because of the Bible version she was using. So,
I like Dr. Stringer's opinion on that issue. So he has a strong opinion about that.
And he wanted to bring it up to us in the interview for sure. So it just tells you his view on it. But no, I think the modern version, they have so many issues, but one of them is just how they water down the text, water down the Word of God, and turn it into, as Pastor Anderson has said multiple times, a butter knife.
Well, I think this conference is great, and we've learned a lot. This is the second one that we've had. I kind of want to get your thoughts, Pastor Thompson. What is your vision for this conference for the future? Are you hoping to make this something that you do every couple years? Are you wanting to change it up, do a different style conference? Obviously, there's probably a lot of topics and a lot of things we haven't uncovered. So I'm just kind of curious, do you have a plan for the future for this type of a conference? Do you want to kind of keep it going? Do you want to evolve it? Maybe you're just not sure yet. I'm just kind of curious where you're at.
Well, I was actually just thinking about maybe switching it up, but I do like this topic a lot, and I know people love this topic, so I'd hate to switch it out. Seems like everybody kind of has their little niche that they want to do. Pastor Anderson likes to do the missions conference, and you're kind of picking up the, you know, well, you've been doing the fire-breathing Baptist, and you kind of switch off every year, and you do a children's conference also. So I thought about maybe doing a prophecy conference at some point, but, you know, it's not like we have one of those regularly, but that is a very interesting topic to people too. So my plan is every other year to do the King James conference, but I have considered doing possibly to switch it to a prophecy conference at some point too.
I'd love that.
So
I'm really into end times prophecy. So that would be
a lot of people,
for me
are.
Personally, that would be epic. And yeah, I agree. I think a lot of people are into that subject. And there's a lot to talk about, for sure. So I would love that.
There's a lot of differences in opinion, though, which could make it a little, you know, spicy.
Interesting.
It could make it interesting, yeah. But if it's so sharp that, you know, it would divide too much, then I don't know.
Well, there's not much left to divide at this point. So, you know, I like being friends.
Yeah.
Are we going to stay friends, Pastor Thompson?
Absolutely.
I feel like we're ride or die at this point. So. Yeah. I don't know what would separate us at this point. So
I don't think we're that different on prophecy. Anybody?
I have no idea what you're wrong on, but yeah. I mean, obviously, if
well, I'd agree with you, but then we'd both be wrong.
Yeah, exactly. No, I really enjoy this conference. I mean, I feel like there's also probably things that haven't really been brought up. Is there something kind of you feel like left on the table that you really would like to still, you know, have somebody talk about more on this issue?
No, I think that what we're doing is pretty technical, and, you know, some of it can kind of seem dry, and I think we've done a good job about mixing it. Like, there's some spicy stuff and, you know, also technical stuff. So, we don't want it to be super dry and it's like we're at a Presbyterian conference or something, but at the same time, you know, I don't know, I guess an extra topic, I actually wanted to attack a modern version that's supposedly King James. I wanted to attack the KJV-ER, which is the easy reader.
Okay.
I was really kind of, even last night, thinking about switching my sermon because I just thought it would be nice to end on a spicy note. But, like, nobody really knows that version at all. It seems like it's not, like, a hot top bestseller. But one thing I was researching how popular the King James was, and I don't know if this is, you know, there's probably different sites that say different things, but on one of the sites that I looked up, in 2024, the King James was the top seller, I mean, I think, in the United States. But I don't know if that's necessarily true or not, but 2024, the KJV was tops. And I just think that, you know, I think that our impact as the new IFB, quote unquote, is pretty, you know, and Independent Fundamental Baptist is heavy. And, we, you know, there's no doubt, even Dr. Stringer said that our influence on the internet has awoken the old IFB into, you know, being on YouTube, and you can see that even COVID helped with that. But we kind of have awoken the old IFB, at least, to stop using newspapers and, you know, the Sword of the Lord, you know, all
getting
these catalogs,
some technology and, yeah, into the play. You know, yeah. I think that that's an interesting point that you're bringing up about the King James momentum shifting, because, you know, somebody else that, you know, a couple different people that I think it's interesting to hear about is, number one, Donald Trump ended up making a Bible and endorsing it as a King James Bible version. And also the superintendent for the state of Oklahoma ended up wanting to buy a whole bunch of King James Bibles and put them in the schools. And again, I don't know that you can necessarily say either of these guys are, quote, new IFB, but I think that there's been a little bit of a culture shift on this. And I think us coming alongside these ships sailing in the right direction, we could maybe just, you know, push them a little further, give them a little bit more wind to their sails. What do you think about Donald Trump making a King James Bible, Vin?
Well, I will tell you this. I believe in celebrating these victories, regardless of what you think about Trump, regardless of what you think about any other political figure. If he's holding up a King James Bible and saying you need to go out and purchase it for whatever the reason is, I'm not arguing Trump is King James only by any stretch of the imagination. I take that as a win. I take that as something that we should celebrate and be happy about. I think, you know, there's kind of this attitude of being so overly pessimistic and negative that you could never just admit that something good happened. And in my mind, Trump pushing that God Bless America Bible was good. You know, sure, Trump is Trump. I get it. He's not saved. He's got his issues, you know, and people have different opinions on him. I tend to like Trump, I'll admit it. But I think when it comes to that Bible that he was promoting, if, you know, whatever reason, it doesn't matter what the motivation is. If more people are reading King James Bibles, if more people have King James Bibles in their hands, regardless of who it is that told them to get one, then I'm happy.
Well, and at least when asked what he likes in the Bible, he didn't quote the Apocrypha. He said 2 Corinthians.
He said, you got to give him some credit. At least he said 2 Corinthians.
Hey, he's in the New Testament. He's
absolutely
got a legitimate passage.
I don't really have a problem with him saying 2 Corinthians. I know he gets criticized for that a lot, but there is a book called 2 Corinthians. I mean, he didn't say 2 Corinthians.
He was just saying it the British way. That's what it was.
British way.
He was saying, because in the UK, they say 2 Corinthians, don't they?
I have no
I'm almost positive. We can ask Pastor Taverner. I'm pretty sure in the UK, they don't say second or first. They say one or two. I'm almost positive on this. So,
but don't, I mean, a lot of Bibles, I think you open up, it says like the second book of Timothy. So it's a little bit, it kind of indicates the person may not be as familiar with Christianity or the Bible.
It's safe to say Donald Trump is not familiar with
the Bible. But if you look at it in, like, you know, Esort or something, it just says two C-O-R.
I'll say this. I mean, Corinthians is probably not like the most well-known book of the Bible. So at least he's got to have at least some knowledge to be able to just actually even say a real book of the Bible. He didn't say like, my favorite is the book of Hezekiah or something like that. And so, I mean, there's hope for America. I'm kind of curious, Pastor Weeb, you ever see Trudeau bringing out a King James Bible version of himself, the Trudeau endorsed King James Bible? I mean, what's the hope for Canada on this?
Well, I mean, I think he was more concerned about his socks and his hairdo, but maybe an Antichrist version. Maybe you'd do that. But
yeah. I have a Trump Bible displayed out in the front.
I saw it. I saw it. Caught my eye. So
yeah, I mean, again, leaders matter. I think you know, Trudeau is not really the best leader. I want to get a Canadian's perspective. What do
not
we think
really
about Trudeau
leader
here?
I'm just glad he's gone, but the guy that replaced him isn't any better.
What is the replacement? I guess I'm behind the times.
It's Carney. I think it's Mark Carney. I don't even know his first name.
Mike or Mark?
I think it's Mark.
But Mark Carney.
I don't quote me on that because I didn't follow politics.
The producer says
you got another Canadian second. You know,
right,
affirming.
Yeah.
Mark Carney.
Mark, yeah, okay. Yeah, and I mean, I would have preferred the, you know, the conservative guy got in just because of economies, but, like, he's not our savior either, so. And, you know, frankly, Trump threatening with the 51st state is, like, gotten the rural people interested, at least, and
Interesting. Yeah. What is like the appetite or the culture like in Canada as far as Bible versions? Are people using the King James Bible? Are they using a modern version? Do you feel like it's kind of just the same as America? Because I really don't have any idea.
Well, I think it depends on what denomination they're part of. Like, I grew up Mennonite, and it was like the English part of it was KJV only, right? And except for, like, Mennonite has, like, a broad spectrum. Like, there's the really liberal ones, and then there's really conservative where the men and women sit separate sides of the church.
So they're not allowed to scream across the aisle.
No.
That's what 1 Corinthians was talking about. It wasn't saying that women shouldn't preach. It's just don't scream across the aisle. Is that what y'all grew up on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I grew up in a church where we were sitting together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you like your women. You don't want to sit them in the corner. Yeah, never put baby in the corner.
Yeah, yeah, we're pro women, and also pro man too.
Like, nice, yeah.
We're trying to put the man back into Manitoba. So.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I like that. Put him in the driver's seat.
That line stole the podcast right there. The man back in Manitoba. Yeah.
I like it.
Amen.
So you grew up in the conservative Mennonite sect, or
slightly conservative. But the women were starting to have short hair and get into pants and things like that. But my parents, I think, were more conservative than the church was. I was going to say I did learn some good things from the church, but no, I don't think I learned anything from the church, but from my parents. And that was good that they taught me the KJV, even though they basically said they changed new things in the new versions, right? And, like, I remember growing up in school, the Gideons would still hand out the New Testament. And I brought it home to my mom, and she's like, well, I got to check it first to make sure it's the right version. So,
well, that's a great set of parents there. How do you go from Mennonite to becoming a Baptist and getting saved? How did that work?
Well, so it actually had to do partly with meeting my wife, because she was in a more conservative church. She was actually in a church where they sat separate. And I joined that church. And anyway, fast forward, there was a church split, and I didn't agree with either side. And so for 7 years, we didn't go to church at all. And then after those 7 years, we...
What was the split on?
I think it was leadership issues. I don't quite remember. It was like one group wanted one leader and one wanted the other leader or something. Mm-hmm. I don't quite remember.
Yeah. But. So then how did you get saved exactly? I'm kind of...
Okay, yeah. So so after those 7 years, we actually moved to another area, and somebody I knew from years ago invited us to their group. It wasn't really a church. And then that guy left for greener pastures. And then kind of what we did is we still met together, and we were kind of looking for preaching to watch and stuff like that. And the guy that was kind of finding things to... He ran across Kent Hovind. And we were going through the Kent Hovind, and then Pastor Anderson was listed as a resource on one of Kent Hovind's pages or something. I wasn't the one that looked it. So we started listening. I watched After the Tribulation, and then I just looking through his sermons, oh, he's pro-KJV. That's what got me interested in New IFBeat style preaching, Pastor Anderson in particular. And so we were on a trip actually to Texas in January. It was actually nice weather.
The Promised Land.
Yeah. And every hotel, I was just using the Wi-Fi, downloading sermons. Because it was KJV, back stuff up with the Bible, and that really got me interested. And then he preached a sermon, it was Doubts About Your Salvation, that got me all the way saved, like that I understood the
so
whole thing.
So you got saved in Texas?
No, I was back
home
already.
You were born again in Texas.
The
story sounds better.
Yeah.
If you were born, no, I'm just kidding. So you got back home.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you finished the job.
Yeah, and at that point, my second oldest daughter was sick in the hospital for a month. She had whooping cough.
This is Kimberly?
No, this was Abigail.
Okay.
Kimberly's my oldest.
Okay.
Yeah, and
how many
anyway,
children do you have?
I have seven.
Seven?
I got one boy and then five girls and then another boy. So,
I feel like I only, like in my mind, I am only thinking of like, I think it's Kimberly and Michael.
Yeah, they're two oldest.
I think that... When I went up for a soul winning marathon in Minneapolis, Minnesota, that's when I first met you guys, and I think you had both of them with you. And you're wearing like t-shirts, and it's like 40 degrees outside, and I have like every item of clothing I could ever own on, and I'm freezing. But you know, he's got that fortress there. You know, he's like out there smiling, and I'm shivering. Do you remember? Do you remember that soul winning
Yeah, I do. And I was just like it was such a blessing to have such warm weather when we were it was like the water was running down the streets and I could unzip my jacket and yeah, it was beautiful. Man. The sun was shining. But I mean, I can understand why you might be cold because you get used to the heat and then
right.
you know, you don't you
get I've been cold here. This is cold.
Well, yeah, I heard like even Pastor Reyes yesterday was saying he was cold outside.
Yeah, I'm cold.
I've really liked it. I felt it's refreshing. The temperature up here, so
it's not 100 perfect. Degrees with massive humidity. Yeah, it's a little different.
Yeah, I mean Dallas Fort Worth can definitely have that. I mean, I do miss the sun and sunlight and brightness and you know normal.
It
people.
Was out a little bit this morning,
but other than that,
not all the way here,
you have to come. I mean, I don't know how you don't go to Sure Foundation Baptist Church because I would need to be around normal people for at least a little bit of my life. Because I mean, you just go outside these walls and it's a clown show. And, you know, the people that act like, oh, you go to one of these new IB churches and everybody's weird and blah, blah, blah. It's like not Sure Foundation Baptist Church, not Vancouver, Washington, not Portland. Boy, you need some normal people. You got to go to church. I mean, that's where the normal – and it's not just normal. It's cool people. It's yeah. cool yeah. people. They're fun. It's exciting being here.
The people making that accusation about the new IFB supposedly containing a whole bunch of weirdos are themselves weird, are themselves also very stupid people as well.
Do you have any other adjectives that you could help me understand?
No, just wanted to put that out there. It is very interesting how the weirdest and stupidest people want to attack our intelligence and our normality.
Claim that we're weird. Ben is not weird, folks. He's very normal.
Most of the time.
Is that temple language you're speaking of?
Yeah, and I mean, Ben could have left at any point. So we're really
and
thankful.
Yet I'm still here, and I've survived Pastor Shelley's driving.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's impressive.
But did you die?
Yeah. See, you know, you got to just drive the car like you do the sermon and just take people to the edge. They stayed safe. No one got hurt.
No one got hurt.
The words didn't hurt you.
Right.
And, you know, you made it quicker than you thought.
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of how it is? Like, the sermon goes by a little quicker than maybe you thought
I
it
mean,
was going to take.
You literally have stolen the title of driving furiously from Jehu. I mean, there is no question about it. You want to get from point A to point B in the fastest humanly possible allotment of time. And, look, I'll give you credit that somehow, some way, we make it to our destination alive every time, but I'd be lying if I didn't question whether that would actually happen during the course of the trip.
Well, you know, some things are preserved. It doesn't make sense, and, you know, we seem to keep just showing up preserved. And,
exactly.
Hey, the King James Bible, people argue that it doesn't make sense how the Bible could be preserved, but you know what? God's providential hand has guided the King James Bible to us
sure.
now. And
so,
that same God, I believe, can preserve Christians.
Yes.
He preserves the poor. He can preserve those that have issues and problems. I kind of have this sermon idea for another sermon. It's about like how our mistakes, God can still end up turning out for good. And but
amen.
At the same time, you know, the roads are dangerous. And the less time you're on the road, it seems like
the safer it'll be. The logic.
So.
Let me introduce this question go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to – I'm going to get out and I have to –
Give us a last – do you have anything left you want to say here?
No, I just want to say thank you guys for being here, all three of you. And you guys are a blessing. And I really appreciate you coming, Brother Ben.
Thank you.
Do all the Q&A stuff and
yeah.
and just being here on the show. And, you know, it is work. You can't just exactly let your hair down the whole time you're here, so to speak. And Pastor Shelley, you're a great friend, and I really appreciate you. You know, all the hard work you've been putting in, and it's been great hanging out. And Pastor Weeb, you're a blessing, and you're doing great works up there in Canada. And I wanted to say this, that I'm going to be up there preaching at his church in
when?
About 3 weeks. It's going to be, what is it,
June
6th, 6th
and 8th.
7th and 8th.
Yeah.
That's their one-year anniversary, I ordained him, and he hasn't turned against me. So, no.
That's impressive. That's
not a jab.
That's
not a jab at you.
Impressive.
He
lasted more than 6 weeks, or how does that work, or three
yeah.
weeks, or whatever it is?
But, I mean, I've had people turn against me before, so, you know, I don't want to mention any names
yeah.
either. But, yeah, so, anyway. But
some people love skin diseases, apparently.
Yeah, and people that skin diseases and the people that love them that have skin diseases.
Yeah.
You know, that's a sermon that you could probably preach to.
Thank you so much for having us here. You're a gracious host. You're a great host. And this is an epic conference.
Very hospitable.
Even if you miss the conference, you still need to just check out Sure Foundation Baptist Church. Great church, great spirit, great people. You know, a lot of people have been telling me the whole week, this is one of the most beautiful parts of the world, one of the most beautiful parts of the country. Cool things to do, hiking, mounting. If you like, you just kind of a more mild climate so you don't get scorched by the sun. There's a lot of opportunity
it's
here.
It's the middle way.
It's the middle way. It's the middle way.
And thanks to the producers. Thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you, Brother Jacob.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Can't do
thank
it
you so
them.
Much. I really appreciate you guys coming. And I'm sorry we didn't use your clips yesterday. And it's all Pastor Shelley's fault.
I agree.
I cannot lie. It's Pastor Shelley. Not just kidding. It's Pastor Anderson's fault.
Everything rises and falls on leadership. And yeah. But thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, I got to go. I'll let you guys end with good. Pastor Weeb there.
Thanks for coming on, Pastor Weeb. Is there anything else you want to promote? You said June 6th. Is there anything else you want to mention for us?
Yeah, so this is a one-year anniversary, June 6th through 8th. So if anybody wants to come there, they're welcome. The Calgary Soul Winning Group is coming out and camping at my place. I have, you know, a quarter section of bushland there.
They're going to be putting the man into Manitoba, folks.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the Calgary group might want to say you got to eat balut before you're a man, but you got a lot of Filipinos in that group.
Oh, man.
But as far as like other events, we're planning to go soul winning in North Dakota September 13th. So if anybody's up there and listening, just
December
stay tuned.
13th, North Dakota.
September.
13th. Oh, September. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
September 13th. North Dakota. Yes. How far is that from Manitoba?
I mean, it's right below Manitoba, North Dakota.
It's like a couple hours or something.
I mean,
like
I
that.
Used to live 1 mile from the U.S. border, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Can you just sneak over and no one's noticing, or how does
that mean, they didn't even ask who I was anymore because, like, we live right there and we go pick up parcels in the U.S. and things like that. So, yeah. But now we live, you know, an hour and a half away.
Oh, okay. So. Does it seem like there's really much difference in culture when you cross the border? Because I feel like when I cross the border into Mexico, there's like a very noticeable difference. Do you feel like there's kind of a noticeable difference, or it blends up there?
Yeah, there is a noticeable difference, but I mean, like the people in North Dakota are a different culture than other parts of the U.S. too, right?
So sure.
But I feel at home, you know, in the U.S. There, you know, we're very similar.
Well, thanks so much for coming on the show. We really enjoyed it. I loved getting to hear about your testimony, especially since Texas was one of the main reasons why you got saved.
Amen.
And, Ben, thanks for
being. Don't mess with Texas.
Amen. Hey, who won the hockey game? Was it the Stars or the Jets?
Yeah, the Stars won it in overtime.
Let's go, Stars! All right.
Right.
I just wanted to get that in.
Yeah.
But
and now he's never coming back on the podcast.
Yeah. We had to do it before we ended.
That's
the,
true.
Like, right.
Good idea waiting
till
the end.
Yeah, he's going to walk out, rage quit or something
sure.
like that. But, no, thanks so much for watching The Baptist Bias. Thanks for tuning in to the King James Bible Conference. If you want to hear me preach this morning, check them out, Sure Foundation Baptist Church, King James Bible Conference. And if you don't have a King James Bible, get one. And if you don't have The Baptist Bias, make sure to get The Baptist Bias.